The following program might make you think of things you've never thought of. Do you ever think of that?
What do you think, Reverend?
Once something has been approved by the government, it's no longer immoral.
Good evening, humans. Welcome aboard the Mothership Radio Show. Here's your host, Kevin Gassman.
And welcome aboard. I am Kevin Gassman with a very special guest in studio talking witchcraft.
What?
And an extremely interesting experience with a possible alien.
I am the leader of all the aliens.
And also we'll get into Uranus and what it smells like.
Hey, I smell gas. Pleasant gas.
And you'll have to hear it to believe it, but this one man's face-to-face encounter with aliens will blow your mind.
Shh, and monkeys might fly out of my butt.
So let's get lost in some alternate dimensions.
Open your mind real wide now.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Time to get into the strange and unusual right here on the Mothership Radio Show, because my guest tonight is, well, she's a witch, she's a comedian, and she's had alien encounters, and she's a psychic reader as well. And her podcast comes out 3 times a week. You can find her at witchdoctorate.com, and Renee Watt is her name. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Yeah. Now, you said thank you for joining us, but you are one person.
Well, you know, the collective us is
right,
what I'm talking about.
Okay. I do that too, and that's why... Yeah, I'm like, we have to go to the store. And I'm like, you're just one person.
Right. Well, there's always someone around. We just did a show about seeing faces and things.
Yeah.
And I talked about that, saying like, well, when you see faces, at least you know you're not lonely.
I use that as a way to, I use it as a psychic trick. So if I'm thinking about a person and I want to know how that person's feeling, I'll look for a face. And depending on what that emotion, like what emotion the face is making, like that's how that person's feeling. Like it could be perplexed, or it could be like happy or sad. It'll give me an idea of where that person's at.
When I'm talking about a face like a regular person's face, or like a face in the carpet?
No, like in dirt.
Okay,
or
yeah,
like patterns.
Okay,
yeah.
Yeah, patterns, mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have this study on it, and you know.
Well, just keep telling yourself that, right?
Right, exactly.
That's the mantra.
That is the mantra,
not
right.
Crazy.
Well, I think the thing is, you want other people to see and verify the same thing, you know, to make sure that, okay, I can justify that you see the same thing I do.
Right.
You know, you have to.
Yeah, but you don't always get that too, so then you...
That's true. You're not going to. What are you looking at, man?
Right. Yeah. Yep.
Staring at that thing. You don't see it.
Okay, people, move along. There's nothing to see here.
So that's where belief comes in, I guess.
Yeah, right. Well, so for you being a witch, I mean, what kind of belief do you have?
I believe in working with karma and being a good person and like taking responsibility for manifestation. Being sensitive to the subtle energies of the universe and how they work together. And
that's interesting. I think because I'm trying to become more in tune with my surroundings,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm trying to figure out like the energy I'm around.
Yeah.
You know, and I saw The Secret, man. You know, I know that movie where that one guy is like, whenever he goes down this one way, he gets picked on and bullied. And then now he's got this air of confidence. He walks through, he's not scared anymore, and the bullies are gone.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of like that feeling of like bad negative energy won't be near that. It won't touch you because you're radiating too much good.
Yeah, it's like law of attraction.
Right.
And I do totally like believe and agree with that. Like I really don't try and make any time for any sort of thought process that isn't positive.
So like the witch, though, is a very negative connotation.
Yeah, but I think that's because it's historically like a religion that empowered women and had like educated women. And that's something that hasn't always been accepted, you know?
Educated women in a sense of...
Yeah, in like the sense of like they were women who were like medicine women, or like they understood how nature worked. They understood how the plants work, or they were connected to the divine and somehow. And
we killed them all.
Yeah,
at least we tried to. How is that? You know, I mean, we talk about aliens coming into the, you know, into our realm, and, you know, we shoot at them, you know,
right.
Get out of here. You know, that's mm-hmm. like our mentality towards them. Maybe they can help. And, you know, they're an advanced civilization. And here's someone on our planet, witches, who are doing things with, you know, for good, but they're mm-hmm. so different that the people get scared and do away with them.
Yeah. It's hard for me to really like psychoanalyze where exactly
sure.
that comes from
right.
or why it happened, but I mean
that's got to be like a social, well, I would say more of a group mentality, or
yeah.
a, you know, because when the collective, you know, religious group see someone doing something so bizarre that's so outside their realm that they have no choice but to either accept it or condemn it, I guess, right? There's
right.
only two choices they're going to do.
Yeah, there's like, you know, control and our, you know, my God is the better God and,
right.
you know, things like that. So, and, you know, I think that the people that persecuted witches probably truly, you know, a lot of them probably truly did believe that they were in the right.
Right.
But they were not.
But they're not. Yeah, you never are when you're suppressing someone's right to do what they want to do on this planet.
Right. Or when you're giving harm to anyone. You're,
right.
You know?
I know, exactly. Like, yeah. like, I don't know how they can justify harming someone and think they're doing it for good.
I know.
It's
so backwards.
It really is, you know. And I think we're at a kind of a crux in humanity right now where that is being contested. Do you feel that in a sense where, you know, more people are really seeing what life on this planet really can be like without any having any restrictions? And
yeah, I think people are seeing that, and I think they're seeing all the work it is and all like the destruction that has to happen to like pave the way for that. You
right.
know?
Right. I mean, right. Exactly. Because you have to rip the Band-Aid open in a sense.
Mm-hmm. Dismantle the way that things are happening now.
Right. Because it is a Band-Aid that's kind of holding it together
mm.
when you think about it.
Yeah. Soggy, disgusting Band-Aid.
We need to redress it. We don't need Band-Aids anymore. Let's fix the
yeah,
wound.
Yeah, let's
know?
Just use our alien lasers. Yeah.
How about some super glue? I heard super glue does really well with that.
Maybe. Super glue the world's problems.
Yeah, there's a crazy video of super glue. We have Renee Watt with us. She's a witch and a comedian, and you can listen to her on her podcast, witchdoctorate.com, 3 times a week. You talk about a lot of different things, obviously. So where are you going with that show? What do you want to do with that show?
Well, it's an educational
okay.
show, the witch doctorate part.
It's cute.
Yeah,
cute name,
it's
right?
like, so I have... like seasons, but I call them semesters. So it'll be a different witchy topic each semester. I'm on my first semester now, and it's about astrology. So I'm wrapping that up. But it's like the idea is to kind of inform people about how astrology works, open up their minds to just like, you know, it's a fun way to look at personality traits
right.
and, you know, the unknown and use the planets in a way that's fun. And
it's always fascinating to find out, like, you know, the traits of everyone's signs. I'm a Pisces.
Okay.
Did you know? You had no idea what you're walking yourself into here.
I
check me on that one.
I think I may have actually looked at your birthday, but then I didn't retain it.
Right. I know all the signs are many of the other signs. Kind of it's a culmination of the signs in a sense.
Right.
From what I understand.
Mm-hmm.
And so you figure out some of the traits. You know, one of the traits is we have a hard time making decisions.
Pisces?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So we're really bad at Subway. You want to get a sub. It's really it takes a long time.
It just takes you a long time.
All right. The normal. Are you an astrology expert? Or you have?
No, I actually started the project because I wanted to explore different topics of things that I wanted to learn about.
Right.
But it's also like part of being a comedian or being an entertainer is you have to make content. So
right.
I was like, got to do both those things at once.
Right.
But for Pisces, I give Pisces a really hard time throughout the course of my entire podcast I have because Pisces are really, they're really dreamy people and
right.
they're really creative, but they're also like masters of deception. So like whenever Pisces energy is coming into my life, like I'm already kind of a fanciful person as it is, but I just like get like crazy with like the mysticism and I'm like, it's like
too much for you.
Yeah, it's like it's hard to like, I don't know, like I feel myself floating away sometimes. I have to watch it with the Pisces energy.
As far as you tuning out of the conversation?
It's just like so like if because the moon spends like 2.5 days in each sign. And so the moon is kind of like how we take in emotions. So wherever the moon is kind of like how collectively we're handling our emotions. So when the moon is in Pisces, everything is really dreamy and things can be misleading and it's like, it's hard to make sense of things.
Okay. So I should go back and look back at all the bad things that have happened and see if the moon was in Pisces at that time.
Yeah. But I think maybe you'll probably be okay. And it's not a bad thing.
Right.
It's just like I'm really sensitive to it. I'm also a water sign. I'm a Scorpio.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. So I have a very, I get along with Scorpios. I actually have a lot of good friends that are Scorpios.
Yeah. And I mean, sharing that element makes it so that we should be able to get along. But it's just like, water signs are the psychic signs and they're the emotional signs. So water is the emotions of the zodiac. So if you're, we're looking at air signs, that's like logical thought process. If we're looking at water signs, this is our emotions.
Right.
So it's just like, get too caught up.
I try not to.
Right.
I mean, I've met women, they're like, oh, you're a Pisces? I'm not dating you.
No.
Absolutely. I've gotten that. Yeah.
Interesting. They don't.
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
I don't think it's ever a good idea to completely like make calls like that based off of.
Right.
You know?
Right. I mean, there's other, Albert Einstein's a Pisces.
Well, yeah, there you go. There's your argument.
Right, exactly. Like, what are you talking about?
We're in the same league.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I don't know. That's the thing. Yeah, being a dreamer. Yeah, of course I'm a dreamer. I mean, yeah. I don't do 9-to-5 jobs. You know, I'm not going to settle for anything that less than what I want.
Okay.
It's really fascinating. I mean, because I don't know all that stuff. You know, you can look at your daily horoscope in a paper. That's pretty much all that you will get out of that.
Yeah.
Just a little, you know, fortune cookie, you know, a little blurb that says, here you go.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. I mean, and I'm happy to have taken on the project and have the knowledge to be able to talk about it, because I wouldn't have been able to say anything about a Pisces a year ago.
Right. Right. So you're, for yourself, you're kind of just moderating a cool show and you're bringing on experts and educating people on this, on the fields of witchcraft. And like you started off with astrology. Are they really combined, witchcraft and astrology? Are they really connected?
I mean, it depends on the witch as a practitioner. A lot of witches really have a very strong connection to the moon cycle, and you can custom tailor what kind of a spell you want to do based on like what the planetary alignments are, or like if, you know, working with like if the moon is in Cancer, that's a really good time to just spend at home, because Cancer is all about the home. It's the crab, so it carries its home on its back, and it likes to be nurtured. And so yeah, if the moon's in Cancer, spend time at home, stuff like that.
I mean, but you know, there's people that won't leave their house until they read the horoscope. I mean, you know, so sometimes it gets a little bit too much. Like, how far do you go as far as taking it literally, as opposed, I mean, you don't want it to run your life, do you? I mean,
no.
You can't let it run your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, for me, it's, I try to just have my intuition guide me over everything else, but it is nice to just kind of take stock and look at what's happening.
Sure, right. At least acknowledge it.
Yeah. And like, I mean, the deeper you get into it, you're looking at different things like what the planets represent. So if we're going to look at Saturn, that's a planet that represents like rules and structure and like authority. And right now Saturn's retrograde. So it's kind of like we're questioning these structures that we have in our life, like power struggles. And we're trying to like look at like people who have authority over us, but like did we give them that authority, you know? So
I think what people need to do is when things go wrong, cause usually it's like when things go wrong is when you have to recognize, why is this going wrong, what's going on right now?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe take the time to see where the moon is at that time and maybe correlate some kind of like,
yeah,
I mean, is that something you maybe could do, right, to troubleshoot in a sense?
Mm-hmm. You know, I do have a moon tracking app on my phone. It tells me every time the
oh, do you?
The moon switches signs.
There is. There's an app for everything, isn't there?
There really is. There really is.
Track the moon.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I mean, so in a sense, I wanted to get to this, and we have a few more minutes before the segment's over, and we'll continue on. You're going to hang out for the whole show.
Yeah, I'll be here.
And I tell you what, we have a really cool alien encounter. We're going to hear audio clips from this man who like was face-to-face with aliens.
Okay.
Not even an abduction. It's just like an encounter. That's going to come up a little bit later on. And speaking about the planets, we're going to take a look at Uranus. Made the news this week. I hate using that joke, but it is what it is. They found some. They figured out what it's made up.
I did not hear that.
Yeah, so we'll hit up that a little bit in a bit as well.
Oh, I'm excited. Informative.
Yeah. Right, exactly. But we've got to be a little bit of everything, you know?
Yeah.
But as far as witchcraft, and again, your podcast is witchdoctorate.com, do you find it becoming more popular? Is it becoming more of a thing these days? Are you finding more women that are, I mean, men can, I'm assuming, can do this, right? Would they be called warlocks? Is that something that's passé? Is there a new term for it now? Or
Dr. Bombay! Streak this way.
I know a lot of dudes that just call themselves witches.
Okay.
Sometimes I'll refer to them as wizards.
You're a wizard, Harry.
But it's kind of, you know, like
that's what they do, right?
Right. But that's the beauty of like the spiritual affiliation as being a witch is like there aren't really any rules. You can pretty much do whatever you want. It's call yourself whatever you want.
Right. It's vague. It's open a little bit. And
yeah.
Just kind of it's more of a lifestyle.
It's definitely a lifestyle. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, right. Because, I mean, like, how do you become a witch? I mean, what happened to you? You know, like, what was your switch, in a sense, to become a witch?
I was raised Catholic.
Right. There you go. Yeah, enough said.
Yeah, then I found a
then you found the devil. No, I'm just kidding.
And then I found the devil and I was like, yes, this sounds better. No. I was at a used bookstore with one of my childhood friends. I was 12 or 13 and we ended up in the New Age section and I found a book by Scott Cunningham and it was called Wicca for the Solitary Practitioner. And it basically was a beginner's book to practice Wicca on your own. I wouldn't say I'm Wiccan. There's rules and it's more structured than I would say what
it's
I do.
It's called Wicca.
Yeah, there's you can be pagan or you could be Wiccan and you could be a witch, but like all these people will kind of umbrella themselves under like the witch term. But I wouldn't say I'm Wiccan, but that is how I got my introduction into the craft.
Okay, how old are you again? You were 12 at that time?
I was 12 at that time. Yeah, I'm 30 okay, now.
So... All right, hang on one second. So this bookstore allowed a 12-year-old to buy a book about Wicca?
Did you stop me?
Well, isn't that special?
They didn't even care what you were buying. Is that what it was?
Yeah, I mean, well, you know.
ID you or anything, like, you know, card you?
No, but I mean, cause I don't know if they could.
Right.
You know, or if they, I think that if you're the owner of a bookstore, because it was like a mom and pop bookstore, okay. I think you're probably just excited to see the youth exploring book, anything.
She's getting a book about the devil.
Yeah.
She's getting a book about raising the dead.
Well, I mean, yeah, I wasn't getting like conjuring books, but my friend got a book as well. So we both got witchcraft books and traded and I formed a coven at my 13th birthday party.
And how many people did you get to, I mean, what's a coven? What does that mean?
It's like a bunch of little witches. Okay. Because I'm 13. It was my 13th birthday that I formed
so all your
the
friends.
Coven.
So how'd you convince your friends to do this?
Oh, well, the craft had just come out. It was easy.
You're a witch.
She's a witch too, you know.
Yeah.
And your friend was already in.
Yeah, one of my friends was already in.
With the book, right?
And, mm-hmm.
Okay. So how many others did you recruit? This sounds like a...
I know.
Like a movie. It does sound like a movie.
Let's see. I think I brought in like 6 more girls that night, but only... I think there were like 5 of us who practiced really... I'm trying to remember. I'm like, I can count and go through right. Now and I can remember everyone who's there. But the people that like actually stuck with it with me for a little while, there was probably 5 of us.
5 and what kind of that was your group and everything?
Yeah, because it was me, Ashra, Sarah, Tara, and Jennifer. So that was my coven.
All right. Interesting. When you're in slumber parties as kids, mm-hmm. you know, you did a lot of things that were kind of, I guess, considered witchcraft. And we not always like, you know... Light as a feather, stiff as a board,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
There was other things that I'm sure that people did that are games that were kind of, you ever break out the Ouija board at a slumber party, you know? So,
yeah.
It's not to say that, I'm not trying to equate it, but in a sense, like, it's almost human nature to get involved in these kind of things. To, I don't know, try it out maybe?
Yeah, I think there's a curiosity
right,
there.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. And at that age, it's right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it was so much fun. And I, you know, I had gotten tarot cards when I was 10.
Okay.
So I was already...
Even before you got this witch book?
Yeah, it was my brother had a girlfriend who showed my sister and I was just like, I'm just like predispositioned to want to be like a fortune teller witch lady.
Right.
So like when I saw them at 10,
it
I was
sounds
just
like
yes.
Right. I mean, it sounds like everything was kind of laid out to you. Like, this is really what you're going to be doing. So you might as well just stick with it.
Yeah, it feels like it.
And where was this at? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Phoenix.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah.
So
North Phoenix. Lots of, you know, hard right Christians weren't very accepting.
Right.
You know?
Right. So that was probably your way to rebel and.
Oh, yeah.
And get hooked up with, you know, with something that's a little bit different. Anything you don't like, I like, you
mm-hmm,
know.
Mm-hmm.
I know how it goes.
Fight the power.
Right, exactly. I listened to metal when I was growing up.
Let him who hath understanding reckon the number of the beast.
Okay, I mean, a punk rocker.
You're a punk rocker, mm-hmm. Yeah. This show is heard in Phoenix. We heard on 93.9 FM, KWSS, in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona, online at kwss.org, Sunday nights at 9 p.m., The Strange and Unusual on the Mothership Radio Show. My name is Kevin Gassman. Of course, you can call me Gas. I asked Renee if she had any kind of bizarre or strange stories, right?
Yeah.
And can you say one for when we come back?
Sure.
All right. So she's going to tell us something that I have no idea what she's going to say. I'm excited. So let's play a song. We'll come back and we'll talk a little about the planet Uranus. Say it the right way.
However you want to say it, man.
Without you know, upsetting anybody. And of course, that encounter is coming up. So don't go anywhere. Hang tight. I got the ultimate witch song from Rush, 1981's Moving Pictures, which came out February 12th, by the way,
okay.
Of that year. This one's called Witch Hunt.
Nice.
It's the strange and unusual as we continue on here on the Mothership with Renee Watt. And again, her credits, you can listen to her every week, about three times a week as well, on her podcast, witchdoctorate.com. And you're doing an astrology segment right now, or as you call it, a semester.
Yeah,
so you're adding a little school to it, a little homework, right?
Yeah, some school.
I love it. Yes, yeah, so you learned a lot through her podcast. Well, I asked you if you had a story you wanted to share, you know, because we talk about the strange and unusual. So I want to know what you would like to share with us that you would deem people would be like, this is too much.
I don't know. I've never taken a tally on like how much people believe me when I tell this story, but it's my story and it happened to me. And this has to do with aliens. And up until this point, I never really believed in aliens. And then I just didn't really care if they existed. You know, it's just like, whatever.
And how old were you at this time?
Oh, this happened to me in, I would say, August.
Oh, this is really recent.
This is really recent.
In Phoenix?
This happened to me in Portland.
In Portland? Okay.
Yeah, because I was...
Maine, Oregon. Oregon, right?
Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was just running around nomadic pretty much most of last year. But I was in Portland and I had listened to a podcast called Me and Paranormal You. And Ryan Singer, the guy who does that podcast, had interviewed a woman about her experience with aliens and how when she was like, she would notice that when she was at nightclubs that like there would be these people that seemed strange that like that would be watching her and would be around her, and she's just kind of started to pick up on the fact that they were aliens and that there were aliens around her. And I've worked in strip clubs for 5 years and I've met a lot of really weird people, and just her saying like in nightclubs I meet weird people made me
it's kind of a given.
Yeah, but like,
so by the way, I don't frequent those places, so.
Okay, well, hey man, no judgment, you know, but if you did, I would never tell. Discretion is number one.
Right? It's a lawyer, like a lawyer.
Yeah, right. But, you know, so, like, I mean, like, weird in, like a paranormal way. You know, weird in a paranormal way.
Just picking up a vibe from somebody?
Well, I've had dreams where I was talking to my friend and, like, they pulled their face off like a mask.
Let's see if he's who we think he is.
It's him, all right.
And would be another person, and then I've met that person at the club the next night. So weird stuff like that.
Kind of grabs you by the boo-boo, don't it?
So after I heard that interview, I decide maybe I should play with this a little bit and experiment with it.
So this is, how many times was this going on? A few times then? You were recognizing this face being pulled off and then that person would be in the club the next day?
That happened once.
Okay.
But there were just strange things like that, like just very strange occurrences, things like that would happen.
Okay.
And so,
in a dream and then real the next day or something like
Yeah, I mean, that happens to me quite often, actually. But in this instance, dreams actually play into this. I dreamt that I was dancing at a club called Mystic in Portland, and I was having a lot of deja vu. And when I have deja vu, it's because I dreamt it. That's just how it is for me. If I have deja vu, I dreamt it. And I was having a lot of deja vu about this club, but I couldn't pinpoint the dream. And then I was giving a dance and I looked out the window and it was like I was reliving the dream that I had watched a few nights before.
Hmm.
So I knew there was something weird going on, and I met this guy and he seemed kind of interesting or strange. There was some sort of a vibe to him that wasn't normal, you know, and I don't mean that in a bad way at all. And so he buys a dance for me. We're talking and I say to him with my mind, I think you might be an alien. And if you are... wink. And he looked at me kind of like with a smirk on his face, but then he winked and I was like, oh, that's so weird, like, but okay. And it's not enough, that wasn't enough, you know,
right?
Still, that was a weird coincidence, you know, for me to telepathically ask something, you know.
Yeah, all right.
Because I didn't say it out loud. I didn't say that. I said it with my mind. So then, that was my reaction.
Wow.
I was expecting the weird because I was having the deja vu, but I was just like, huh, like you said.
Yeah.
So then I go and I sit with him and we're talking and I get called on stage and I do my set. And at the end of my set, I look at him and I say with my mind, I'm going to run to the bathroom really quick and then I'll be back with you. If you got that, raise your right hand. And he looked at me again like, this is so weird. And but then he, like, to the music, pumped his right hand.
Whoa.
So like, yeah, so I go in the bathroom and I'm like, whoa, this is a lot, like, you know, kind of trying to process it,
right?
And I go back out and I sit with him and I talk to him. And he just turns to me and he says, "You're not like other people, are you? You operate on a higher frequency."
Serious?
Yeah.
This is what he said to you.
This is what he said to me.
Crazy.
And I was just like, yeah, I guess so. Because what is happening, you know?
What did he look like?
He looked... I still talk to him. He looks like he's... I don't know his age. He's never told me his age. He's pretty secretive about that, actually. But he looks like an older man, maybe in his late 50s, early 60s. He's fit. He's short, athletic. After we were talking a little bit longer, I went into the dressing room and I was getting tired. And so I said, not to him telepathically, but I'm convinced he's an alien or he's in cahoots with the aliens, you know? So I say telepathically to just like the alien source as a whole, like, "Hey, like, I'm really tired. I'm trying to make money so I can buy equipment for this podcast. My purpose is to spread information and laughter and love. And I need $100 before I can go home. And I'm really tired and I want to go home." And I got called on stage. And so I went straight from the dressing room to the stage and I'm doing my set and the guy comes up and tips me $100. Yep. Yeah.
And so you still talk to him. So you ever bring this up to him at all? Or do you ever like question him at all? Or just kind of leave it alone and just accept it that this is just in a unique situation with this one dude?
Well, I sat with him and I telepathically asked him if he wanted to stay in touch and if he did to say yes. And I'd give him my card. So he said yes. I gave him my card. I mean, I have kind of been like, you read my mind, and he doesn't really say anything about it.
Right. And all this music's going on. It's loud. It's in there. You're in a club and things are going on. I mean, it's such a scene in a movie.
It was really.
It's a very bizarre event to go through and actually like kind of this. I'm going to talk to you without talking to you. And
yeah.
See what happens.
Yeah. But I mean, it completely unfolded this world that I wasn't exploring. I've meditated with extraterrestrials since then, and I've had a lot of really weird things happen. My clairvoyance improved exponentially since I met him. I see orbs almost on a daily basis. And that's not something that happened up until I'd met him. So I am wondering if they're somehow assisting me in my psychic ability.
Like by orbs as in like UFO orbs, or are we talking about like glowing orbs and or see-through orbs kind of thing?
Like glowing balls of light that will be different colors and they'll be in my periphery, but I see them all the time. And sometimes I'll ask them like, "What do you want?" And they'll give me a message, you know, they'll tell me to do something or, you know, have a reason for being
and
there.
You're that in tune with what message they're sending you. Are you hearing voice? What do you hear when they send you a message?
Well, I usually will only get it if I ask, or sometimes the message will be really obvious. Like if I'm talking to someone and I'm seeing a lot of like blue orbs, to me, because that is the throat chakra, if they're healthy blue colors, I'm like, okay, this person's telling me the truth.
Oh, okay.
You know, but sometimes I'll just see an orb and I'm like, okay, what is this about? What do you want? It's not like I get a stream of words like we're saying to each other, but it's like a concept, you know, like,
okay, so you got to figure it out. Here it is. Let's like put the piece of the puzzle together. Let's figure out what in this room is going on. Right. Or is it like that? Or is it a person?
It'll be like, okay, so like, I'm trying to think of an example. Okay. So I saw an orb and I was like, "What do you want?" And it was like, "You need to comfort so-and-so." And so I like, you know, found that friend and they needed comforting. So that's one way.
And you said this happened when they met this guy 6 months ago, 7 months ago?
Yeah. Oh,
no, a little more than that, I would say.
Yeah.
About 8 or 9 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And this, so do you have you had any other kind of experiences with aliens or UFOs before this?
Not that I was aware of, but I have to believe that they were probably around me, you know?
Right.
And I think that they're around everyone, but you have to be ready for communication with them and then you have to be open to it.
The contact with them.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, to be very in tune, which we all have to kind of be. Do you think this is a capability of all human beings to tap into, or just really this, it just really isn't? Are there too many things blocking the majority of people?
I don't know, honestly, because I'm so young in my journey. I don't feel like I could have a general consensus on what every person is able to tap into.
Right.
But I know for me, it's a calling. It's not something that I chose. I don't feel like I chose it. And I think in that way it's different for me than it is for a lot of people, because I had to study it. I had to learn how to work it.
Right. And you're going in on it, which is great.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome. Good for you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. We got Renee Watt with us, and what we're going to do is take a break. The Strange and Unusual will continue on. I'm really excited to play these clips from this man who has an alien encounter. It's pretty incredible. Tell you what, Strange and Unusual will definitely continue when we come back. But I got My Alien. This is Simple Plan. From 2002, their album No Pads, No Helmets, Just Balls.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
What if I told you I'd take you to a place you'd never been and do something to you that's never been done?
That light started coming towards me, so I was really relieved then, because I thought it was a helicopter still, until it got within, maybe 60 feet or yards. I'm not sure the distance at night, but it just stood, hovered there with no sound. So then I panicked because I knew it was no helicopter. I thought it was something from outer space, but all I could see is a little, about an 8-inch glow. So I thought it was just a little tiny flying saucer. Then I kind of panicked and I threw my bow up in the tree again and hand walked out there, that limb, and got up in the tree. But then this light went a half circle around me over the canyon. Then I could see the whole shadow of the whole spacecraft. And that was just a light that was on the nose of it.
That's Don Shrum. And that is an experience this man had in the Cisco Grove area of California, which is between basically Sacramento and Nevada. And he's in there camping, and he sees, and they're hunting as well. He's got a bow. You heard him say he's got a bow.
Mm-hmm.
And he sees whatever he sees coming at him, figures it's a UFO, and he climbs the tree. This is the most incredible, like, encounter we're going to go through here that happened in 1964 of September 4th.
Okay.
This man saw a UFO and had to climb a tree to avoid it, all right? Donald Shrum's his name. He's a 26-year-old factory worker. But he's with his friends. He gets separated. Night starts to fall, and he's lost. And from what we're hearing here, that was Don Shrum. But we're also going to hear from Noe Torres and Ruben Uriarte, who are authors of a book called Aliens in the Forest, the Cisco Grove UFO Encounter, which talks about this incredible story that this Donald Shrum went through, not just seeing UFOs, but also encountering actual aliens.
Okay.
And possibly even being attacked by aliens.
Interesting.
Yes. So this dude, Don, he's an aerospace contractor. So An Aerojet employee. He was a welder and painter of Polaris and Titan missiles. Here he is working in war.
Right.
And now he gets a visit from a UFO.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting connection.
Do you think it matters? Do you think? Because I talk about aliens, as far as them picking out who they're going to choose. There was an incident where they abducted a woman who was very religious.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed her this book, and you would think it would be some kind of an opening for her. And she's like, I don't really get this book. I'm good with my God. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So wouldn't the aliens know, or shouldn't they know who they're getting, who they're picking up?
I think it depends on the alien. I think that there are different types of aliens, to be honest. I think there's probably several different types of species. I think some of them want to help us. Some of them want to observe us, and study us.
Right.
I don't know.
It's what is the luck of the draw? Who are you going to get, right?
Yeah, I think
Which
so.
Which aliens do we have? Are these guys cool? Are they kind of cool? They're still going to probe me, but let me go.
Yeah.
Or am I going to disappear forever? What's going to happen?
Yeah.
Especially camping. A lot of people go missing in the wilderness all the time.
I just watched an interview with the guy who wrote Missing 411. You know what I'm talking about?
I've heard of that.
Okay, yeah.
What did he say?
Well, he was talking about, portals. And
yeah. So people are falling into these portals?
Maybe. It was a possibility.
Right.
We don't have any definitive answers for anything.
And, the whole thing of Bigfoot, obviously, mm-hmm. They think he's interdimensional.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's a lot of that going on. So.
I love the interdimensional talk and the interdimensional theories. I really do.
It is fascinating. There's no doubt. To have that open up to be another possibility of life on this planet, to figure out that there's a place somewhere that if you go into it, you're going to land somewhere else that's not even on this planet.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so now we're going to hear from Shrum himself again. Again, Donald Shrum. When I first heard this, I was like, Donald Shrum? Who?
Yeah, Donald Shrum.
I was like, who's this guy?
You're fired.
So this is him. Now, it wasn't just one. He saw two, actually.
When it landed up on the ridge, I could only see part of the top, but it had a little light on it. Looked like a the top of a flying saucer. Really? That I'd seen in pictures.
Like a dome? Or
yes. Yeah, like a dome. So I kept my eyes on that.
You know, it's funny when they always say, like, well, it looks like those typical UFO that I see.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that, I don't know. I mean, I feel like when you describe something that's so typical, you know, the typical flying saucer, you know, with the bells on top, whatever it is, I feel like that gets, it's too cliche. I don't know. To me, it is.
Right. It's harder to digest or as a believable story. Right.
Yeah, in a sense, I mean, like, describe something more extravagant. But I mean, I can, maybe it's not. Maybe there's a reason why it's a flying saucer, because it looks like that, and that's what they all look like.
Yeah.
So, all right, so this is when it changes up a little bit. Not just ships anymore.
These two humanoids come out of the brush, and they kind of broke some of the brush off and was looking at it. And then they came straight underneath the tree and looked up at me. And I knew right then I was fingered.
Oh, my.
Looked like 4 to 5 feet. Of course, I'm looking down at them, so they'd be shorter than they probably are. They had a silvery, like a one-piece suit on, and it seemed like it had puffy joints on the shoulders and the elbows and the legs. I didn't see that clear. I could see the two like eyes that were looked like welding goggles to me. They were the same as welding goggles, and then the rest of the face was kind of blur. I couldn't see looking down at him.
This is Donald Trump in a tree. Remember, he's hiding in a tree from this. Remember, he saw the UFO, he climbed a tree, and now these beings, whatever he sees, are coming out of the woodworks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it would be hard to hide from. I think they can find us if they want to.
Right. I mean, I don't think at the time or for himself, though, I don't really think he maybe thought he could be coy and like hide from them.
Well, it makes sense to try and, you know, you got the fight or flight thing. It makes sense.
So here's another one.
These humanoids were very curious in studying the plant life around there, almost like scientists. And then he noticed that they start walking over toward the tree, toward him. And then another being started to also walk in that direction, which, as Noizan mentioned, it was a robot-like creature.
Did you say robot-like?
Yes.
Oh, in addition to the humanoids. So they had like, ooh.
Yes. I know, it's getting better, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, this thing is really weird, I'm telling you. Like I said, it's like, is this some kind of a weird flashback this guy is having? Did he have, you know, I mean, why would you come out and say, I had to climb a tree, and why would you describe all this if it didn't happen, right?
I agree with that.
It's almost like this guy must have ate shrooms while he's out there, because it's really just a bizarre story. Here's the next clip about the robot.
Then I saw two flashing red orange light eyes just picking its way down the ridge, just between the rocks and around them and everything, and come down and was on this big boulder. He kind of looked up at me and he moved his hand to the fire cinders and kind of scattered them.
I wish I could ask him questions.
All right. What would you ask him?
What he thought their function was.
I'm thinking like they're just kind of on a scout thing. You know, I just think they're just kind of doing their thing in the woods and
looking at the plants.
And he's there.
He just happens to be there.
Yeah, that's kind of how I'm seeing this. I don't think they landed there because they saw somebody there, maybe. Or maybe they did. Maybe they saw someone who was lost and wanted to help him.
But he was he lost?
Yeah, he was lost.
A little, okay.
Yeah. He's a survivalist. So when he's in, so his situation where he's at, climbing the tree, what he also did later on is he lit a couple fires. You light three fires.
Uh-huh.
And that's supposed to let people know by the smokes that there's issues going on.
How many do you light for an alien?
Right. Well, not enough on this thing. He got no help. This is right. What happened. But this is Ruben now describing how Shrum wasn't hunted.
Mr. Shrum said that he was hoping that there would be no aggression toward him. Of course, because of the fact that he was hiding up in the tree and was out of their direct line of sight, and even though they had taken notice of him early on, they didn't seem to be at that point too concerned with him. In fact, he mentioned that they went about their business of looking at the surrounding vegetation, breaking off little pieces of it, the humanoids did. It appears that there were both visible and audible signals being exchanged both among the creatures themselves and also between the mothership, whoever was aboard the mothership, and the creatures down on the ground below.
So this guy is seeing this full-on communication going on. There's like a I don't know, like if Star Trek sent Captain Kirk to the planet.
Yeah.
I feel like it's, you know, they sent a few people down to check it out.
Kirk Enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
Like which one's wearing the red shirt, you know?
Right.
This is getting a little strange in the story here because it does get a little aggressive.
Okay.
When they do recognize who's in the tree. This is Shrum talking about the robot.
He was about 7 feet from me. He touched his mouth and kind of a steam vapor come out of his mouth. And it lit up his face so I could see some detail. I blacked out when that steam hit me, kind of took the air from me. And I'd gasp for air and then black out. And I fell over my bow. And that's the only thing that kept me in the tree. So I figured they were out to get me then.
They're coming to take me away, haha.
Wow.
A smoke came out of this thing.
It made him pass out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I read later on that he actually was, he used his belt buckle, I believe, to stay in the tree. It was like, that's how he kind of hooked himself together. Because, you know, he passed out in the tree, you're going to fall down. Like, so he didn't fall down.
He was just hanging.
Right.
Okay.
So they obviously see him. They know he's up there. And they're trying to, I guess, gas him in a sense. And he does use that term.
Got gas on your mind.
When he recovered, he noticed that the humanoids then all of a sudden were trying to climb up the tree. And that really frightened him. And he climbed up further up the tree. And then from there, it turned out to be his own personal war of the worlds between the humanoids, the robot, and himself. He then later started to break off the branches. He had matches, and he started to throw it down at the base where the humanoids were standing.
So he's throwing the matches down. So he's lighting matches and throwing them down. Like
a warning.
I'm just reminded of The Hobbit, you know, when they're in the tree. If you saw The Hobbit, I don't know if you did, but at the very end of the movie, Gandalf, he's lighting up these acorns, and they're using the acorns as fireballs, basically. All right, I'm totally geeking out on The Hobbit right now.
Yes, you are. That's what's happening.
That's all good. But people listening know what I'm talking about. Bilbo Baggins. So yeah, so now he's trying to defend himself, throw some little whites down, this and that. Now he's got his arrows. Are you ready for the arrow story?
Yeah.
All right, here's Shrum himself talking about using the arrows.
I had a 60-pound bow, which is a very high velocity. Seeing as how the robot's the only thing that was causing me harm, I shot the chest area, and it has the velocity of a rifle at that distance, because I'm only about 7-8 feet from him. And when I hit the chest, the sparks would fly like an arc welder, kind of. Then that robot backed up and almost knocked him down, kind of fell back against a rock. And the two at the bottom took off and headed for the brush and stood out there about 30 feet from me. And I shot two more arrows and about the same time sequence that these two humanoids would, every time I'd shoot, they'd go back up into the brush, just almost out of sight from me.
Out of all the alien encounters I've come across, I've never heard of anything like this before.
Okay.
And not to say that it's like, oh, wow, this is another something different. You know, you almost kind of want to hear the same thing over and over, don't you? I mean, when something like this comes out, you're like, what's going on here? There's a lot of questions out there that aren't being answered. So it's up to us to figure out what is going on. We're trying to decipher what is actually happening. You know, what is life on this planet? What are we doing to ourselves?
What does it all mean?
A lot of people don't want to have that answer. And you know, a lot of people get thrown into the answer without wanting to, like this guy right here.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. Sure, he didn't want to see any aliens on his camping trip, and hunting trip, whatever, with his friends. The interesting thing about this story, real quick, is it is between Sacramento and Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in the mountains there. It's called Cisco Grove.
Okay.
And literally, like, down the road is Crystal Lake.
Ooh.
Do you know Crystal Lake?
No, but it sounds like I should.
Friday the 13th.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know Friday the 13th.
Yeah, Crystal Lake. I'm like, holy crap, there's a Crystal Lake nearby this thing.
I'm just thinking about it from like a metaphysical. I'm like, is it full of quartz? Like, is there?
Right. I got you. That's funny. So the story didn't get a lot of press. Didn't get a lot of fanfare.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it didn't. But hopefully people can take a look into this themselves, and if they want to find more information about it, Noe Torres and Ruben Uyarte are the authors. Aliens in the Forest, The Cisco Grove UFO Encounter is the book. You can check it out yourself. It's all about Donald Shrum getting lost and what he finds in the forest, or what finds him in the forest here.
Questions.
The strange and unusual is what they found, I'll tell you that much, here on the Mothership Radio Show. We'll come back, we'll shake our brains, and so we'll get into Uranus and what it smells like. Yes, right here on the Mothership Radio Show. The Mothership Radio Show is winding down from that bizarre alien encounter from Donald Trump. What a weird thing to experience, you know? I mean, this is a definite one-of-a-kind story, I would say.
They're all weird experiences, but that's what makes them so delightful to listen to.
Well, let's hit up some news. We haven't been on the air for a couple weeks, so a couple things have happened since we've been gone. And Uranus, back in the news, and, you know, of course, every comedian's favorite planet. You know, everyone loves to joke about this. Every news organization is going bananas about this story. They figured out the atmosphere. They figured out the atmosphere of Uranus is made up of hydrogen sulfide. And if you don't know hydrogen sulfide, that's rotten eggs.
Whoa! Someone smells stinky!
I was going to say, that's the egg one.
Right, it's the egg one. It's the
well,
egg
that's
one.
Just too cute. That's God's perfect plan right there.
Right, right. And that's some of the things you think about, like, this life in this world is made up.
Yeah.
This is too many things, too perfect. That
it's the computer simulation.
Are you buying into that too?
I will nerd out on the computer simulation theory. I will. I'm not going to say it's not what's happening.
So how do they know? Well, they've been spying on this planet, of course. They got a high-powered telescope on the top of Hawaii's Mauna Kea volcano. So they're taking a look at this Uranus, and what they're figuring out is basically the sunlight bouncing off Uranus's atmosphere gives off a vision of what element would create that vision, I guess.
Right, because they mixture it with color, right? Like spectroscopy or scopy?
Sure.
I think is what it's called.
Sure. So that's what they're checking out. But in the story here on the Times Union page, that I'll post this on the Facebook page, and I love this story because they're talking about how they're figuring out what this cloud is made up on this planet. It's our seventh planet out there. They say using a 26-foot Gemini North telescope that's on this mountain, they say a team of scientists studied the reflected sunlight in infrared and determined what types of molecules made up the planet's atmosphere. They said the scientists were still able to detect them unambiguously given the sensitivity of their instruments and the exquisite conditions on Mauna Kea. The reason why I want to point that out is the exquisite conditions on Mauna Kea. Now, you're in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
It's always going to be exquisite conditions in Hawaii.
Probably.
So I think they're showing off here a little bit.
They're just bragging.
The exquisite conditions here in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, dude. We know it's exquisite conditions. So the idea of this basically is when they figure out what's made up the content of this atmosphere, mm-hmm. they might be able to figure out the map of the planets and how they all came out to be where they're at now.
Okay.
So my theory on the planets was, maybe other people share this too, is that the sun was popping out planets.
Okay.
You know, ba-bong.
You think it's ba-bong. Like gave birth?
Yeah. I think the planets came out of the sun. That's
okay.
My theory.
Okay.
And every sun gives birth to a new planet and they just pop out. And then when they're done, it's done. That's something I think about.
Okay. Hey, man. Whatever works.
To each his own, right?
Right. Yeah. Hey, I'm not going to judge anyone for what they think. It's a fun visual, too.
Tell me I'm crazy.
You know, you don't need a degree to talk aliens. And
you don't.
You do about science, but we don't have a degree. I don't have a degree, at least.
I don't. I was a dance major. So.
Right. So you're just kind of guessing the same way I'm guessing,
I watch a lot of Science Channel.
Right. Well, we all should.
Right.
We should all be at least somewhat aware of what's going on out there. And not just stuck inside your TV and on your cell phone. So take a break once in a while and look up at the stars and lose yourself.
Yeah, go remote viewing.
Yeah, if you can, right?
I'm convinced that I could do it. I just have to go do it.
I have a friend that did that one time. He had mentioned what he had done. He was in one room. Someone was in another room. And he had remote viewed. And I think they had like playing cards on the table.
Oh, so he did it that way.
Yeah.
Okay.
He had gone in the other room, saw it, woke up and said, it's this. And that's what it was. Yeah.
Okay.
So...
nice. Yes, that's like some like astral projection stuff too. And
right, it's all kind of combined.
Yeah, it's all like the same. I'm like, wait, what's the difference?
Right, exactly.
But I guess remote viewing and astral projection are quite different if you want to look at it. But
it's all part of the fun conversation that goes anywhere we want it to go.
Yeah, it's where you just lose your mind for no reason.
Right.
We're both adults. It's fine.
And we do it every week for an hour right here on the Mothership.
Mm-hmm.
Renee Watt, thank you for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And we will talk soon enough down the road, I'm sure. You can check her out. Just follow her her online, witchdoctorate.com, and maybe see her on stage somewhere, do some jokes. You do joke about being a witch, or?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And conspiracy theories. Okay. And
thank you so much for joining me. I really do appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you.
And this will be on radio, this will be online, on podcasts, and forever people can take a listen to this and judge for themselves. Maybe it's real, or maybe it's make-believe. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. We'll talk to you next week right here on
The Mothership Radio Show.
Thank you, and keep watching the sky.
I am Uranus. I'm an icy gas giant. I'm the coldest planet in our solar system. And I have rings made of dust. I am Uranus.